Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Don Allen Rico and Bob Gorman, and this is Business Kids Academy. Welcome to our 30-minute kids entrepreneurial educational call, talking to parents and kids about the entrepreneurial mindset. Today, we're talking about the vision of a kid entrepreneur. Our call-in number is 646-668-8875. That's 646-668-8875. And welcome to the show this morning, Bob. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, it's amazing because here in South Florida, you know, people usually think of us as the hurricane place. But now all the bad weather's been coming your way through the Midwest, and we're just comfortable. We're just sunny and nice and warm. So we got a little bit of a reversal here.
Yeah. Well, we've certainly had a lot of snow in the mountains, and in fact, they were still skiing here last week, and there were a lot of rain, just a lot of rain clouds here recently.
And remember, the snow is going to melt, and there's a lot of water on the ground, so you guys may be in for a little bit more than you expected.
Yeah. Yep, that's for certain. Well, today,
just
Bob,
like,
we're talking about
life, right?
Yeah, exactly. Today, we're talking about the vision of a kid entrepreneur. And, you know, I know that it might seem a little bit premature to talk about the vision of a business and, you know, creating a business vision when you were talking about kids. But that's what we're going to do today is show how we can build the skill set of what it takes to create a vision and even goals, and how parents can help kids understand that and start working with that. You know, that was one of the things that we talked about a couple of weeks ago is just some of the things that a parent, you know, the skill sets that a parent could give a child from early on. So that, you know, they could use it as they grew older and they started thinking more as a business owner. You know, it's without vision, people perish. That's, you know, what Proverbs tells us. And many times, you know, it's just the vision of one person who gives the purpose to many, many people. And so vision for an individual, you know, that's essentially especially if they want to accomplish much in their life. You know, a lot of people just simply start out and they just take what is given to them, and they don't even, you know, don't even as much as have goals in life. So vision of where a person wants to go, that's got to be specific. And so today we're going to kind of talk about how parents can help their kids gain vision and help them learn to create some goals in their lives so that they can get going, you know, with have a good fundamental as they start out. So
yeah, Don, I have a few thoughts on. Now, first of all, you know, when the school system, when we started to get into the, you know, 1800s and mid 1900s, etc. We used to, you know, a lot of the schools pretty much prepared students and prepared young people to work in factories. You know, at that time, the big jobs were factories. There were union jobs. There was the automotive and everything. So the school system was kind of built to feed these factories. And then, of course, more in terms of, you know, people going to college became more in vogue. You know, you find a lot of people in the mid-1900s. You know, they really didn't have visions of going to school. Some of them, it was their first time, you know, going to school. And, of course, many of them came here as immigrants. So I think now we look at the school system, and I think the school system is in transition, and that affects young people. And, you know, they're trying to figure out, what kind of world are we trying to bring them into? And it's
right.
It's even difficult. You know, you can get three or four experts in the field, and they may have different views on it. So I think it's very important that we talk about the entrepreneurship. It's very, very important that the parents, you know, kind of, you know, take that role. And I think just to summarize quickly what we talked about in some of the other programs, you know, parents are teachers. You know, we always think of teachers as being somebody else. No, you as a parent are the most important teacher that your child will ever have. And you know, and it may not be particularly skills, et cetera, but it's ethics, it's willingness to learn, it's exposing them to different things. So they have a broad, you know, broad interests. And certainly now, you didn't have the problem when I grew up. You know, now I think they're worried about kids playing video games and stuff. And, you know, it kind of, there's a lot of things to distract people. The other thing that's kind of interesting, I think, that we found is that, you know, parents will also learn from their youngsters because, you know,
yeah.
we're going to learn in that process. But I think the key is you are the guide for your child's future success. Okay. You are the guide. And I kind of equate that to, like, we think of in medicine, Don, like a general practitioner, a GP. You know, one time when I grew up, there was the doctor. He was the doctor. He didn't send you to the eye guy, to this guy, that guy. He was the doctor. But now you have a GP, and the GP is really your quarterback. You know, you go to a GP, and they send you to different places. The other part I think that's important is you're not alone in that endeavor. You have family. You have friends, some programs in church, school. So you have to understand that, you know, it's not all on your back. You have people. You have resources. And you have to learn to use them. When you get to the child, your youngsters, and again, we always talk about this, Don, as being somewhat age-appropriate because, you know, obviously you're not going to deal with a 4-year-old the same way you're going to deal with a 14-year-old. But
right.
Children have talents. Some of them intrinsic, some of them learn. And parents, I think, have to be very, very astute in terms of gleaning that, because a lot of times young children, they say, hey, I like this, I do this well, but they may not recognize that, as that may be a talent in life that might be important to them. Interests, you know, music, arts, mechanics. You know, my dad was a motor mechanic. He used to take me into work. He was an entrepreneur, and I used to, you know, work on motors. And even as a 11-year-old, I mean, I didn't do extensive work. I used to rewind armatures and do all these things. So I got a lot of exposure to more or less, you know, technical type things. And early in life, I learned that I wasn't very good at music. I couldn't even master the harmonica. I couldn't even master the small harmonica that my dad got me. So I had to pursue something else. So when we talk about that, you know, they have talents, they have interests. And now what you're getting into with the goals, Don, very importantly, is now they need the direction, okay? They need the direction, the timeline, the direction. And I think when you talk about the vision, you talk about the thoughts, you know, they can start to move in a direction. And you're going to guide that. But I think what's going to happen is the need for guidance, sensibly and eventually, it's going to get less and less as your child starts to, you know, pick up on their own.
Exactly.
So I think it's good to just remember that background. I think it's a very important background. And I know sometimes it may be a little redundant, but I think parents have to really understand that that's a big part of their job. You know, they have to do that. And that's why we talked about possibly putting together some logs, journals, worksheets that can help the parent in terms of, you know, doing that job. And especially, you know, I was an only child, but, you know, some families have 3, 4, 5 children, and obviously it's a little bit more complex.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and this process that we're talking about, it's not only that for parents, but, you know, for grandparents, as we've talked about as well,
yeah.
Because, you know, any grandparent who is involved with their kids can also have a big influence on the grandkids and help understand, you know, that as the kids develop talents, you know, like, for instance, you know, parents a lot of times will have in their mind a vision for what they want their kids to do, or, you know, I want you to be this, that, or the other. Maybe it was some of their dreams unfulfilled or some of the things that they wanted to do, but that doesn't always work. And, you know, it doesn't, it like you say, it used to be before the education started training kids how to be workers, how to be the worker bee. It used to be that the parent or the father would pass down his trade to his kids, and they would go from son to son to son, you know, and they would be, that was what they would be. They would, you know, they would have that same officiant as the parent would have. But in today's...
in a sense, Don, when I worked for Kennecott Copper Corporation, a major mining company, you know, I was in corporate headquarters and in New York, but we had mines, open pit mines, and we had processing facilities in several areas of the world. And, you know, just what you're saying is I would go out, you know, when I went out there and you know, did my job more in terms of capital appropriations and helping them acquire the equipment they needed, you'd find people, you see, you know, some of these, when I got to work with them, met them, they say, you know, my father worked here, my grandfather worked here, I'm working here, and I expect my son to work here. And so there was that kind of thinking and mentality, even within the context of a working relationship, as opposed to just simply an entrepreneurial relationship. Now, for me, my dad went out of business. I was still young, and my dad, you know, he couldn't make a success of the business. He was very good at what he did, but he really didn't have good money management skills. And I sometimes wonder, if he was successful, it might have been Cormanant's son. You know, I might have, instead of doing what I did, I probably would have just gone into the business with him. And sometimes I think about that.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things about my dad is my dad, he always said that he was a jack of all trade and master of none. Which, you know, he was the sheriff of Jim County here. He was a county commissioner. He was, you know, he was very active in that aspect. But he was also a mechanic, and he was a carpenter, and he did a lot of things. He worked as a mechanic for many years. He started a business and that's where I got my business acumen and a lot of wanting to be a mechanic because of the fact that that's what he was doing when I was growing up and was being, you know, getting excited about life and wanted to work like my dad did. He started with his two brothers. They started a John Deere dealership, but before I was old enough, he had sold his portion to an uncle. And, you know, and I never got that, but I probably would have as well if he would have, you know, owned part of that. I did work there for a while, but it was not something that, because my uncle was the owner, dad was no longer, he was a mechanic, and I didn't go that way. But, you know, that's the vision that a parent has to have, you know, and I think a lot of times because of our hectic schedules day to day, and you know, and people, you know, they want to have a little business of their own, or they want to do something to make that little extra money. You know, I mean, you see that going on all the time. They've got their job wherever they've got their job, but they want to make a little extra money, so they start in a business, but they don't have a vision of where they want that business to go. Right. It's just supposed to make a little extra money. And when a child, you know, sees these different things, they're not really sure what, you know, what mom and dad are doing or
it's kind of like what you say, capitalizing on an opportunity, which is when you say, hey, you know, I can go to work here and this and that, as opposed to creating an opportunity. And that's a lot of times, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking here about somebody, instead of slotting into something, we're talking about the possibility of actually creating an opportunity, creating a business, creating something for yourself. And that's kind of you know, the exciting part of it is it's the creation, and that's how, that's the big shift. And of course, now you take a look at the internet. I mean, you know, when I want to research something, I went to the library. Finally, my dad was able to save some money up, and he bought me an encyclopedia. A lot of the young people, I asked them, do you have an encyclopedia? They don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
And what's an encyclopedia? Well, encyclopedia is a lot of books, is a lot of volumes covering all kinds of things, all kinds of information. And they said, well, we don't need it because we got the internet. So
exactly.
So it's kind of a whole different world. It's kind of a very different world. And it's both challenging and there are pitfalls because, you know, for example, my son now is looking for, he graduated college. He's looking for a good job. And I try to explain to him, and we're working with him, that, you know, it's really nice to sit there and say, I can send my resume to 10 places and they'll distribute it. But, you know, that's going to be you and thousands of others. You're one of thousands. So as opposed to, you know, getting the business journal in Florida, because we're South Florida, getting the business journal, looking at who's promoting, looking at who's, you know. So it's a matter of, it creates a lot of opportunity, but sometimes it creates challenges too. And ultimately, I think the best way is going to be a blend of both things. You know, it's kind of like the blend. And again, if it's easy for you to send your resume, it's also easy for everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
So what makes
exactly.
So if an employer's got five jobs, and it's 10,000 people. You know, what makes you special? And you know, so anyway, I think it's a matter of the creativity. It's a matter of interest. It's a matter of you teaching a young person, get them interested in things, and pursue that interest, and help them along, but don't do everything for them. That's the other part.
Right.
And I think we talked the other place about, you know, maybe sometimes get them involved in some budgeting of little events. It's practice. It's getting them to think about it. We talked about sleepover. You know, sometimes young people have a sleepover, and you know, have them write up a little budget. You know, hey, what's going to cost? What do you mean, what's going to cost? Well, we got to feed them. You know, who's going to pick them up? Where are they going to sleep? There's a lot of logistics here, and that really is a lot of the planning type skills that you need as you start to try to build your dream. And so there's a lot of that, and I think those are things we want to put in the exercise book. And I think when young people start to have to do that, it's going to start to become a habit. It's going to be, anytime they think of something new, they're going to start to think about it. Okay, let's see, how's that going to work? What day is it? Who's going to, you know? So it may not seem like a big deal, but it's really like you're training. You're training them to do the kinds of things that they're going to need to learn. And eventually, you want them actually to do it themselves. You don't want to have to tell them all the time. So there's these exercises you can do that are going to position them for that. And, of course, when you're a little bit later, you know, I mean, of course, the work environment's a little different. When I was a kid, I used to go get soda bottles. I used to deliver packages. I didn't have to worry about the IRS. I didn't have to worry about licenses. I just went to the store and said, hey, you have any packages to be delivered? You know, now everything's got more complicated, you know, especially when you see, I read an article where this 11-year-old girl had a lemonade stand. The policeman came up and said, do you have a license for that? It's like, oh, my God. Have we really got one?
Yeah. License to sell your lemonade. Yeah, I remember we had I had lemonade stands out in front of our yard along the street there. Where I've sold 25-cent cups of lemonade before. And Dad was sheriff, so I didn't know that.
But the point is, Don, it's a little bit different world, and we want to make sure that we're operating safely, that the young person, if they start actually doing jobs, they can always do jobs in your house for money, you know, mowing lawns, whatever it might be. But as they go outside that framework as a young adult, you know, it's a little more complicated, but you can find situations, you know, as they move forward and you know, start to earn money and start to understand the business process a little bit more.
Exactly. You know, one of the reasons too that I think that this is super important, especially, you know, even in a family setting and trying to transfer that understanding to a mother and father and kids mm-hmm. as they grow up, comes from a conversation. And actually, you know, the show that I do with Senator Stephen Thane, one of the things mm-hmm. he says is that as a society matures, power tends to transfer from families to institutions. And he says, why do families have such a hard time growing? He says, because the competition is the institution. And, you know, that's what happens is institutions are created, then they're run by, you know, their corporations and so on and so forth. And a family has a very limited time that it stays together. And you think about, though, the most successful families, those families that have created a product, that have created a name, created an idea. I'm thinking Kardashians. You think about the Michael Jackson, the Jackson family, the Osmonds. These families, you know, their kids were part of the product because they sang, but they created an institution much like a corporation to compete in that thing, in that field. So the same thing can be done with families in the fact that they can create an idea, create a vision for what they want with their family and what they want to do, so that the kids, you know, that there's a structure created that the kids can take over if they want to. And so it really has to have, you know, that's why a vision statement, it captures, you know, in writing, the essence of where you want to take a business or a family, if that's the way you're looking at a family, and it can inspire the family, you know, with something to, you know, to go on to reach their goals, set goals and where, you know, what it is that they want to do as a family. So goals are very necessary in any endeavor as well as families. And so families need to be looked at more than just, you know, a mom and a dad and a few kids, and that creates a family. You talked about earlier, you know, the budgets, little things within the family that go on, you know, sleepovers. Those are just like any other business, you know, they have events, they have things that are going on. And those are just important in a family endeavor and involving the kids so that they understand the structure and what's going on to make it successful. I think that's very important. So, you know, goal setting, there's principles in goal setting that's a skill set that kids can use. And I think it's a very important one. Trying to understand that, you know, the family is an entity that can be like a business. So I think it's very important as well.
One of the businesses that really has changed dramatically, which is obviously a lot of it in the Midwest, upper Midwest, you know, was agriculture. You know, how many years have we had, you know, the small, medium farmer that would be passed down from generation to generation. And now you have the agribusiness, you know, and now you have the
right.
agribusiness, and a lot of that is being taken over. So, so now it's, you know, I think it's, you have to be a little more, you know, creative and adaptive because
right.
a lot of things that we used to take for granted that you was an easy follow on, you know, are a lot more challenging. And
exactly.
I think the farm business is really very, very typical of that, where a lot of these small farmers just had to sell out because they couldn't make it anymore, or they had to sell to larger combines, which meant that the combines were the ones that made the money.
Right. You know, that's kind of – it makes me think of the Treasure Valley here in the Boise area. As Boise has expanded, it's gone further and further into the, you know, the country. And farmers, you know, who have had maybe 100, 170 acres, and it's all of a sudden grown up houses around it. They find that they can't farm within the city anymore, and they found that, you know, the price and value of their property's gone up, and it's easier to grow houses than it is to corn, you know, and more profitable. And that's what's happened is some of the great prime farming land and, you know, what used to be age-old farms don't get passed on to their kids, or the kids take them and divide them up into subdivisions, you know, because it's easier than going out there, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
But I think the point is we're dealing with a changing environment, and it doesn't mean that opportunity goes away. What it means is we have to work harder. We have to plan. We have to think it through. We have to cultivate our skills. And we have to work a little bit harder, you know, than maybe we used to. And we have, you know,
right,
have to take more vision. So I think, but what you're doing is by exposing your youngster to different things, by looking at their skill set, by coaching them. You really, you know, I thought about that. Then, yeah, they're teachers, but they're also coaches. A parent is also a coach. And as you mentioned with grandparents, you know, they're not alone. There's resources. But I think the important thing is to keep your young people focused on what they're doing, the schooling, but also focus on the fact that there's a bigger plan here. You know, the goal is not just to graduate high school. There's a bigger plan
right
here. And there's a lot of things you have to do. And I think also one of the tragic things I've seen from the education system, which parents have to try to supplement, is, you know, we used to have music appreciation courses when I was in school. We had shop courses. And now I see, in especially here, in the area here, is that, you know, they're cutting all that out, budgets. They're cutting out music appreciation. They're cutting out shop. These were all very cool things where you learn and got a broader appreciation. So I think it does put more of a burden on the parent.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in closing here, basically what I wanted to do was just kind of give an idea of what Business Kids Academy is all about, our tagline and our vision of what we are trying to accomplish as Business Kids Academy. And our tagline is for the entrepreneur in your inner kid. And so we all are, you know, business is not just for big people. We are all kids in some aspect or another. And Business Kids Academy is for parents and grandparents and kids alike. We teach fundamental principles that all kids, big and little, should know about business. And that's kind of what we're talking about today, is how a vision is important, just important for a big business as it is for a family, as it is for a kid. And so part of your challenge for today is create your own tagline, vision of what you want to accomplish. Think about what you've learned and what you've heard today. Any last comment, Bob? 30 seconds.
Well, the other thing I'd like to mention very quickly is, you know, and right now, you know, there's more opportunities for women than ever. You know, when I grew up, women was just, you know, just expected to learn cooking and housekeeping. So don't, you got to make sure that your family, you know, both boys and girls, there's a lot more opportunity and talent. And, you know, make sure you don't have any thoughts about that. You know, they have, you know, keep them all in the mix. And I'm sure mothers would like to hear that, but I think it's true. You know, it's changed.
Good.
And now I think women have more opportunity, and we have to work with them as much as we work with anybody else. The role models are changing.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for being with us this afternoon, Bob, or those on the recorded call. This is Don Enrico and Bob Corman with Business Kids Academy. Make your day great and keep on dreaming. Bye for now. Business Kids Academy is a production of Q Ford Productions, copyright 2019, Sabrevine Incorporated, all rights reserved.